D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Sportsnet's NHL Insider Extraordinaire, Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Elliot, I know that you are in Boston, the site of the final tonight between Canada and the United States. You've been around these teams for the past few days. Give us a vibe check for both teams. What are you feeling right now ahead of this big matchup from them?
The vibe, Adam, is surface of the moon hot. That is the best way I could put it. There's so much here. I mean, the tournament has exceeded expectations. The rivalry between Canada and the United States has exceeded expectations. That game on Saturday in Montreal, it exceeded expectations. And now all of the passion and patriotism and the politics have just warped this into something. Adam, on Saturday I said there's no way that this game could live up to the hype, and it exceeded it. I don't think we're going to see three fights in the first 9 seconds tonight, but I do think we are going to see a tough, passionate, intense game that is not for the weak.
Mike Sullivan, the coach of the Americans, said only one player is unavailable for the U.S. squad tonight, that being Charlie McAvoy, who just recently shared on social media that he's out of the hospital. He was in the hospital because he had an infection in his right shoulder and a significant injury to his AC joint. The Bruins announced that the other day. You have some additional reporting about this, about the Bruins not being happy with maybe the treatment that McAvoy received in wake of this injury?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's accusing anyone here of anything nefarious, Adam. I just think that, the Bruins felt that that they just weren't up to speed on what was told. And it was interesting. I was talking to a general manager last night who said to me that one of the real challenges about all of this, and he kind of sees it, is that, it's the Team USA, the doctors are from one team, the GM is from one team, McAvoy plays for the Bruins, his GM in the NHL is, with Boston, is the GM of Team Canada. He said that, what we have to do probably is just, there's probably nothing nefarious here, like nothing. But what it does is it just takes all of this stuff out of the equation. And but the Bruins were unhappy. They felt they didn't have a full update of what happened. Initially it was reported that the injury was not serious. And then you saw the statement the Bruins put out, right? Like, we don't see those statements too often. And that made it very clear how they felt about the whole situation. We'll see exactly what comes of it. I'm happy to hear that McAvoy is out of the hospital. I don't know what his status is going to be, but it just appears to be one of those things that either at the beginning they didn't realize how serious it was, and the Bruins didn't feel that they knew, and it just, they won't talk about it any more than the statement, but it's clear they weren't thrilled.
Elliot, I have a two-part question here for you. Which NHL player participating in this tournament has enhanced his reputation because of his performance? Conversely, which player participating in this tournament has hurt his reputation based off of his performance in this tournament?
Well, I would say that even though I think they had huge reputations and going into this tournament in the hockey world, I think the Tkachuk brothers are now like crossover stars, right? Like, there are some athletes that are bigger than their sport. Shohei Ohtani is, obviously one of those guys. I'm not comparing him to them. It's way too big. But I think that you occasionally get players who cross more into the mainstream, and they become as much a social phenomenon as they do a sporting phenomenon. And I think the Tkachuk brothers definitely did that. in this tournament with their fights the other day. So I would say them. I think players who have heard it, I think Pettersson from Vancouver, he really struggled in this tournament, didn't play much in the game that Sweden beat the U.S. on Monday night. I don't think that was good for him. I think the Maple Leaf guys have big pressure on them tonight, probably because of the big stage of the game and the fact they have one of the biggest fan bases, Marner for Canada, Matthews, the captain of the United States. Like, Maple Leaf fans always get, Maple Leaf players, like, they're always, like, Wendell Clark, one of the best stories I remember, Adam, was there about 20 years ago. There was a player named Jamie Baker. That was about 30 years ago. Jamie Baker, who was traded to the Maple Leafs, and Wendell Clark was the captain at the time. And when Jamie Baker arrived, Wendell Clark told him, if you want to survive in Toronto, you've got to understand one thing. You're never as good as they say you are, and you're never as bad as they say you are. And, you know, I've always remembered that. And the Maple Leaf fans are kind of having this with Matthews and Marner tonight. I'll tell you this too, a guy that you guys know who I think did well for himself here and has only made Dallas look even smarter for acquiring him is Michael Granlund.
Absolutely.
Very quietly, I thought he had a really good tournament for Finland.
I remember, Elliot, when we were out in San Jose and they had that crazy, Nashville came back from 5-1 down to beat them, but Granlund played really well in Nashville. Then they had a home and home, very convenient hop over to San Jose, and they played again. Granlund played even better in another 6-5 crazy game. But I remember asking you about him at that time. That was before he got dealt, obviously. But, man, he looks so much better than he did a year or two ago. He has had a revival, and Dallas has got to be super excited about him.
Yeah, he was really good here. You know, the Finns, they only won once. They lost a couple of times, but they were really undermanned, and they played real hard. And he was really good.
We'll talk with Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, the Four Nations tournament is going on, and it's been a damn good one, I tell you. It's gotten me, even though I just watch really the Predators, it's really gotten me into watching the games.
Put on the pads, eh, Derek? You ready to put on the pads?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I couldn't even stand up on a pair of ice skates. But if you when you're looking at this sport, Elliot, and every sport, I think, has their sort of moment where it goes from being okay to it's taken off, whether it was women's, you know, the WNBA when Caitlin Clark came in, whether it was golf a while ago with Tiger Woods, the women's soccer team during the Olympics. Everybody after that sort of started to gravitate toward it. Can that be said, I think, in the future in regards to hockey? Because of this Four Nations and the way it's being played with all the talent on the ice, and they've been exciting games, do you think eventually this tournament can bleed into the season in regards to people paying attention to the NHL as a whole?
I hope so, Derek. I think the thing is that's always tough is that it's very hard to get games that mean this much during the year. Like games like that one, we don't see enough of those anymore, especially with that level of player. I think what's going to help now, Derek, is that the pros are back in the Olympics starting next year, and we're going to start doing this tournament every 2 years as well. I just think the more we get best on best, the more we're going to see this. And, I think, Derek, too, like the biggest thing I hope is that I think hockey is one of those games that's better to watch in person. Mm-hmm. As much as I love watching it on TV, you get the size and speed of and what these guys can do on skates when you're there. And I hope it gets people into the building. The number one thing, though, Derek, is I really think, and this is something that your community has done really well, is got to get kids playing. And maybe not even ice hockey, just road hockey. Like, ice hockey is really expensive. It's a very challenging thing, to afford for a lot of families. So I almost look at it like if you get people playing road hockey or street hockey, at least they get some understanding of what you can do and how the sport works. That, to me, is the big key. That's the thing I hope that the NHL and the players capitalize most on this. I wonder if there's going to be a lot of kids out there saying, hey, I want to try that. And whether it's on the ice or on the street, they need that opportunity because then they're going to want to go to the games.
So sort of like, you know, flag football. If you want to get a kid sort of used to football as a whole, or family sort of used to football as a whole at the ground sort of level, you throw them into flag football, and then they sort of follow it all the way up into tackle football, and they tend to stay with it a little bit longer, or the family becomes fans of just football in general.
I think that's a perfect comparison, 100%.
Talking to Elliot Friedman. Elliot, a couple other things to watch tonight. We know how people are with hockey injuries, and this feels like you got to play it close to the vest. I know everybody is saying the Tkachuks are okay.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned. Like Herm Edwards, who used to come on our show a lot, I think he's a great guy to listen to talk football. He's got a fun saying that he said when he had guys who were maybe warming up and deciding whether they should activate them or deactivate them on a particular Sunday, he would say, I know you can start the game, but can you finish the game?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think we're dealing with the Canucks, as much as you can say, because we will never really know until we find out?
Well, I think it's a great question, and I wouldn't be surprised, Willie, if after this tournament's over, some guys miss games for their regular team. Now, I do think there are some teams in the NHL, like, for example, Winnipeg plays St. Louis on Saturday night when the schedule resumes. The Jets talked yesterday, and they've got potentially three guys playing tonight. They've got Connor Hellebuck in goal for the U.S. They've got Josh Morrissey on defense for Canada. And I don't know what's going on here with Kyle Connor, who's at forward for the United States, because it looks like there's a chance he might not play. Mm. But they talked about resting their guys on Saturday, like giving them a break. But I also wonder if we've got some guys here who are more banged up than they're admitting, and they might take a game or two off or more when they get back. I think you're on to something, Willie, but I just don't think we're going to know until these guys get back to their NHL cities.
How much do you think the Canadians learned from the first matchup with the U.S. of how the U.S. is going to try to play them, how the U.S. shut them down? What adjustments do you think we'll see from Canada? Because I'm sitting here, and I'm not quite sure you could possibly shut them down more than you did in the first game. I'm thinking if I'm USA, I better get a few more goals.
I think that one of the things that really stood out to a lot of players is that that game between Canada and the U.S. was one of the best defensively played games that they'd ever seen. They said, when you take all of the offensive talent that was on the ice in that game, and then you see how hard it was for guys to move out there and how hard it was to score, that those players were committed, absolutely committed to defending. And if you think about it, you look back to that game, like there was that one spectacular goal by McDavid, but other than that, there wasn't a lot of room to move. I think the USA will play exactly like that again. I think they're going to make sure that their spacing is tight, that they defend the middle of the ice, particularly in their zone. And, you know, they make it hard for the Canadians to get to the net. That's what they did very successfully. A lot of Canada's chances were perimeter. If you take a look at the Canadians, since that game, they moved Braden Point up with McDavid. They realized they had to get guys who were a little bit faster that could play with him, that could stay with him. And the one thing is, I believe, is this. Canada has the best elite talent, McDavid, Crosby, MacKinnon, and those guys were all great in their last win over Finland. But I think the U.S. 1-18 has been the better team from start to finish. They've had more players make a contribution, and they've just been the best team top to bottom since this tournament started. I think if Canada's going to win, they're going to need someone from like their third or fourth line to come up and make a big play or have a great night. That to me is important. I just think the U.S. from top to bottom has gotten more contributions from more people than anyone else.
Elliot, you guys have discussed on your podcast the timing of this in terms of the U.S. perspective when you're not in the spotlight of the football, which is different than it would be if you played this in September. And so you're getting a huge spotlight. You have P.K. Subban is everywhere on the ESPN circuit. And I'm really curious about the audience tonight because one of the things, for example, that has come up where you just wouldn't get the spotlight is hockey. I think as a guy who played a lot of basketball growing up and at a pretty high level at the college level here in town, I've had a lot of fun debates over the years with hockey players. I said this before. I don't think I've ever met a person who has played a high level of hockey and a high level of basketball. You've covered both. But one thing that really came out, I think there's a lot of lack of understanding of the other culture. But I think in the meantime, this discussion is only good for the NHL because I think they're going to have a lot of eyeballs tonight that they wouldn't ordinarily have because we're so in our own little bubbles.
Yeah, and I hope people won't be disappointed when there aren't three fights in 9 seconds this time.
Right.
I don't think we're going to have that again. We interviewed JT Miller, who was in the third fight for the pod, and, he said he laughed and he said, yeah, I'm not fighting tonight. Like, I want to play. I don't know how, some guys are saying maybe you get one, but you don't think three. I think, nobody's going to want to be in the penalty box for at least 5 minutes in this game. It's too big a game, right? So we'll see how many we get. Look, this is a huge opportunity. And like I said, I think it's going to be an intense, fierce, nasty game. And I think that's going to be a great show. The one thing is, Luke Robitaille, who's the president of the LA Kings, I remember he was one of the guys. He's Canadian by birth. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame as a player, and now he has a big business position with that team. And he's one of the guys who really convinced me that this tournament couldn't be in September anymore. He said, if we're ever going to hit it here, and it's not, and people have reminded me since I said that, Willie, and you guys in Tennessee, you'll understand this. In September, it's not only the NFL. It's, the NCAA is playing almost every night. High school football's big in a lot of these places. You really get stuck behind everybody else. This proved that the timing was brilliant. And, with the NBA, look, we've had terrible all-star games in the NHL, too. We have a problem we have to fix when it comes to those. But the timing just turned out to be beautiful. And, even if the NBA All-Star game was better, I still think that game, the way it was played, it would have captured people's attention. It was just a great sporting event. I just think the biggest thing that hockey has to do, as I said to Derek earlier, the only way you capitalize on this is you're going to have people saying, wow, that's really cool. How do we get them into a rink? How do we get them to pick up a hockey stick? That's the way you truly build.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet's NHL Insider, sponsored by Old National Bank. Elliot, we love you. We respect you. We hope that you're sad by the end of the evening.
I completely understand. Before the tournament, Adam, I did pick the U.S., but I never like to waver on my picks. I just said, it's hard for me to bet against Crosby, McKinnon, and McDavid. A couple of those guys would probably roll their eyes at a bad prediction, but McDavid might put me through a wall, and that quite frankly terrifies me.
And so of course,
I don't want to admit that around him.
And with Makar in, I mean, that's a huge thing for the casual fan that, for our listeners that maybe don't want Makar missing the first game. He's another nuclear weapon. That will be in a Canada jersey
too. Like McAvoy being out, he was one of the best Americans. He physically pounded McDavid. Like that trade, quote unquote, Makar in, McAvoy out. That's massive for both teams.
Elliot, enjoy the game tonight. It should be a great one.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great night. Enjoy.
You as well. Elliot Freeman joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. We'll discuss the game coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.